better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, the live video feed, it's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right? Should probably have that up all the way when I started it. You know what I mean, Carrie?
I do know what you mean.
I think you do.
Uh-huh. Seems I got to have a change of scene.
Yes, indeed.
Every night I have The Stranger's Dream.
Imprisoned Huey Lewis. The Joe Cocker version, the Joe Cocker arrangement. I'm feeling all right. Got horns in it, so I like this one.
I got to leave before I start to scream.
You know it.
Well, someone locked the door.
Come on.
Took the key.
You're feeling all right.
Turn that right up.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. No way. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
That's how we do.
I'm not feeling too good.
Oh, man. Had the lunch special today?
Yeah. Which was?
El Rodeo de Jalisco.
Ooh, sounds yummy.
So we might have to play some long music on the show today. Just saying.
Dude, really?
What? The extended version of Let It Be by the Beatles? The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot? Those songs could. The long version of American Pie by Don McLean? I'm telling you, you could probably fill a lot of the show with music today.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to put it out there.
All right,
I had the chicken fajita plate, but without the fajitas.
Without the fajitas?
Extra chicken, extra hot sauce.
Tortillas.
Yeah, without the tortillas.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
It was yum. It was good.
Sounds delicious.
Can you and Polo just talk about stuff for a while?
No, this is your show.
Why not?
You have to pay for it.
You take ownership of everything, and I want some money for the deal, and I want the thing over there. And then when I say, can you do a little something extra? No, it's my show suddenly.
There will be no
suddenly
extra.
Suddenly it's all mine, this show.
That's right.
So there you go. Just to let you know, if there's any dead air to the affiliates across the country, just saying.
Just put some Bon Jovi music. That'd be all right.
No. You know what?
Yeah. What?
I'll just sit here in pain before I let that happen.
Okay.
That's what it's the Joe Pag Show. There's a lot going on. BCDC. You know BCDC, right?
What's up?
Ben Carson don't care.
Oh, right. I do know that.
We'll have the reasons why Ben Carson don't care today.
Yeah.
Ilhan Omar needs to learn that she's got to stop this garbage because it did not bode well for her today. So we've got that, which is good. I think that my response to his tweet was, I see you, Ben Carson. I see you. That's all I had for him. I had nothing else. What else am I going to say?
Okay.
All right. His response was excellent. She alleged that he was sleeping. That he needed to take a nap or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have that. Now, is it possible that a U.S. representative, who, by the way, just doesn't seem to even like the country. Way to go, Minnesota. Way to go, Minnesota. Now I'll get calls from Minnesota. Don't blame us. We didn't all do it.
We didn't vote for her.
We didn't do it. What are you talking about? Don't blame us. Is it possible that she doesn't know the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development's just his persona? That's who he is.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't know. I don't know. I'm not sure on that one.
You know, Dr. B and I, we're friends. I call him Doc B.
Dr. B? No, you
what?
Don't.
He Dr.
Not.
Ben?
No. Not to his
you dare
face.
Me call him Doc B next time I have him on?
Yeah, I do. I want you to call him Doc B.
Well, have I ever had him on?
Yes.
Have I met him?
Yes.
Is he on the show quite often?
He's been on a few times. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever talked to him ever?
No, I haven't.
So my relationship with him is a whole lot better, is what you're saying.
Yes.
If I said, hey, Doc, what do you think of Carrie Lockey? Would he even respond?
He would say, who is that? I'm sure. Okay. Thank you. We're making me feel so good about myself.
No. Listen, you could talk to him plenty, but anytime I interview these big names, you're like, I'm going to take a nap, Pags. Don't even ask. So, I've made the offer several times. I just stopped offering.
Oh.
But Dr. Carson, his whole... just his level of composure is such that that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
When you interview him, when you see him at the Christmas party at the White House, did you go to the Christmas party at the White House?
No. You know this. I don't know why you're asking me. Yeah, you know I didn't go. You know I didn't get the invite. You could have taken us, but, you know.
Well, I was able to go and I could bring somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband was available. Polo didn't want to go.
It would have been a great road trip with
Mario and I. That would have been great.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, now, he's a cool guy, the secretary, but that's his persona. That's who he is. Very laid back.
Very soft-spoken.
Very soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And if you don't know that, and you're a U.S. representative who, like, hates Israel and loves Palestine, and you just, anything you say, and it comes out of your mouth, is just, like, anti-American values, then maybe you should learn before you speak. Learn before you say something about a guy that you clearly don't know. Because, I mean, he put her in her place today. Not that she's a little lady needs to be put in her place. No, somebody who's so negative and horrible needs to be put in their place, whether it's a man or a woman, anytime they do it. And he did a good job of that today, very calmly. And again, it just seemed, I almost saw his, well, let me respond to her this way. You know what I mean? I almost see him saying it like that.
Yeah, maybe he did.
So we'll get into that in a little while, because BCDC, and no, it's not the rock group, ACDC. Mm. But I want to start with Chrissy Teigen. Don't know Chrissy Teigen? I know that she got in trouble. It's John Legend's wife. I know that she got in trouble. She's a model, for those who don't know. And also, I guess, now a television personality, I guess, whatever. I don't know, host that karaoke show or whatever. She got in trouble a few years ago because somebody asked her who she would like to meet. She said Glenn Beck.
Did
you remember
she
that?
Really?
She got in big trouble.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Look it up.
That. Wow.
And Glenn, in his hilarious way, made fun of it, like, on the show for a while. It was because she had it backed down. I don't know what I was saying, and I was just putting it out there, and I thought it was an interesting person. And she had to, like, completely backtrack and apologize for wanting to meet Glenn Beck. And he did a whole thing where he was just riffing on, I get it, Chrissy, but I'm married and all that. I mean, it was just very good. Mm-hmm. But she's somebody who actually is just like a normal human being that doesn't mind saying, I wouldn't mind meeting somebody on the other side. Like, I mentioned Seth Rogen the other day. We're not friends, but he and I are connected on Twitter. And we connected on Twitter because of his refusal to take a picture with Paul Ryan's kids or something. And he said, oh, I hate what you've done to the country. And he and I had a back and forth on direct message on Twitter. If somebody asked me would I like to meet Seth Rogen, who I know is somebody who's politically not aligned with me, the answer would be yes. I don't dislike his movies. And the guy at least was, he had the gumption to actually have a conversation with me. On Twitter, and I didn't come on the show, and he considered it, but he didn't come on. But if I said I wanted to meet Seth Rogen, people shouldn't get mad at me. When I say John Legend did a great job singing a duet the other night on The Voice, and I literally got return tweets saying, I can't listen to a word he says, he's horrible. Well, politically speaking, he is, but he's a singer, and I enjoy his singing. Like, Robert De Niro is an idiot. I mean, the guy's a dope. Robert De Niro is a dope. I'm almost embarrassed he's Italian, to be honest. But having said that, the guy's an incredible actor. But when he goes on and on and on about how the president's a mutt, and he says the F word at every turn, he's giving a freaking award to Al Pacino the other day, and he makes it about Trump for some reason. It's just stupid. It's stupid. But I still will see Robert De Niro's movies because I think that he's a great actor. He's wonderful at reading the words written by somebody else. And good for him. I can't do it. So, no, I'm not going to stop seeing the next Fockers. You have to be very careful how you say that word on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I will see the next one if he's in it, and I think that he does an incredible job. But obviously in real life, he's just a stupid guy. And that's okay. You're allowed to be a stupid guy. But Chrissy Teigen is now apologizing for a tweet she sent out. Did you see this?
I did not.
You know that I watched the show The Voice.
Yeah.
Her husband, John Legend, was on The Voice this season, and he ended up winning The Voice. And she tweeted out about how great it was. Now, the Voice finale, Carrie, was live, which means it was happening right then.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know who won until it happened, right?
Right.
So she tweets out a quick video of his singer, Maylin, winning, and says, this is literally the happiest I've ever seen John ever, ... She's retweeting a tweet by NBC, The Voice. Has that winter swag. It was a legendary season indeed. They sent it out right when it happened. And, of course, there are idiots out there online who hadn't seen the show yet and were now mad at Chrissy Teigen for retweeting the original tweet by NBC that, of course, is going to tweet it out as soon as it happens because it was live. Getting mad at somebody, and again, I don't know her, and her backtracking on the Glenn Beck thing tells me that she's probably not the deepest person. But she has every right to tweet out about an event that already happened. It would be like I'm watching the basketball, baseball, football game, whatever, and tweeting out, I can't believe the Dolphins lost again, and somebody being mad, I haven't watched the game yet, I got it on DVR. Well, then don't go on social media, you dope. It's a live event. Carrie, am I based on this at all?
No, I don't think so. I think you're right on. And the same thing happened, I think, with Meghan McCain in Game of Thrones. And I guess she had just assumed that everybody had watched the big finale last Sunday and said something about it that alluded to the ending, and people got very, very ticked off.
I actually think that's different.
Oh.
I think it's different. Because okay. That's a recorded show that, I mean, people will, generally speaking, DVR things like that. I think there's a difference, and I'm willing to be wrong on this. I'll hear from people on this. But there's a difference between a live event, a live finale of a contest, of a game show, basically, a live ending to a baseball game. Like tonight is going to be another Eastern Conference Finals game between Toronto and Milwaukee. When the game's over, you should be able to tweet about it. Of course, you should be able to talk about it with anybody you want. And if you're the person, because the onus is on you, if you've recorded it and you don't want to know, don't pay any attention to social media until you watch it. And do yourself a favor and watch it sooner than later, because it's going to get out. It's like the whole Avengers Endgame. I can see saying, don't spoil it. I get that. It's a recorded movie. It's something where you know people are going to get in a car and go down to a movie theater and go see it. It's not a live event. I mean, there were thousands of people in the audience at The Voice who could have been tweeting it immediately. NBC itself tweeted it immediately. Now, the people who produced Game of Thrones didn't tweet out, can you believe that we ended the season with this? I mean, that would have been bad, because then people wouldn't go back and watch it on DVR. But, I mean, this is there any question that you can talk about a live event once it's over?
Of course you can, yes. Like I said, if you don't want to know the ending, you haven't seen it, get off social media.
Like a lot of people watch or listen to this program via podcast later. Some of them don't have it in the market. They can't listen when the show is live, whenever. We're one of the top streamed and podcast shows in the entire country. Does that mean I can't tweet about what I'm talking about? Really? Well, that was one hell of a show. I can't believe Carrie farted again. Can I not tell people that?
You can't.
Just giving an example. Just giving an example of like a live event.
Here's another example.
And it's an example that's actually happened.
It's not.
What I'm saying, the point that I'm making,
I hate that point,
is do we have to be careful with tweeting about a live event? Polo, anything on that?
I mean, I get what you're saying, and with the live stuff, I mean, people were doing that too.
Different.
With like the Avengers stuff too, you know, with the movies. And I think with that, it's harder to control that one, because if you really wanted to go that first night, I mean, and sold out, you can't do anything about that. So you have to wait.
You know? But it's a live televised event that you have every opportunity to see, and you know social media is going to blow up over it. What I'm saying, I guess, is the people who found out from Chrissy Teigen who won.
Right.
Should not have gone on social media. I think the onus is on them, not on her. Because she's watching this thing happen live, and her husband did something good. She can't tweet about it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. I guess sometimes it's hard to avoid those things, even if you're trying to avoid them. Because sometimes you'll get, you know, if you have your phone set a certain way, you'll get notifications, you know, for certain things. Like, I know there are certain apps that I have that, you know, will notify me of something that's going on, and maybe I haven't watched it. And I'll see it. So, you know, if I don't remember to turn those notifications off, then I get those you know, announcements.
I'll give you a prime example. I hear what you're saying, but it's up to you to change the settings. I'll give you a prime example. I had it set up on Facebook for our flagship station, which is the home of the Spurs, to send me notifications. I'm also an op or a manager of the website. And I would get notifications of the Spurs game, the final of the Spurs game, as I'm watching the game on DVR. And it happened 10 times, maybe 20, and I said, let me shut notifications off. And then once I shut notifications off, this is crazy, I no longer got the updates. Also, I had the Spurs app on my phone, and I had to delete it because the Spurs app would update me after the first quarter, here's the score. No, I don't want any of that. So I think the onus is on the person on the receiving end, not on somebody. Seriously, I'm going to tweet about live events. Sam, anything quickly?
No, I pretty much agree.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. So
yeah.
I wonder, and she says, truly sorry for spoiling The Voice tonight. I thought that since the official account tweeted it, it would be okay. But now I realize it wasn't, and I will make sure that when my husband wins something with someone, I will wait for each state and every country before being excited. Now, I think she's being sarcastic, and I like the response, but most people took that as an actual apology. I actually think it's not, to be honest with you.
It doesn't sound like one, no.
I think that She kind of is and certainly isn't. So in this day and age of social media, everything's online immediately. Is there any getting angry that somebody spoiled something for you that you had every opportunity to see as it was happening live? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
To have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. Bottom of hour number two, it's going to be Sam Marisol. Am I saying that right? I think I'm saying that right. Maybe not. Let me make sure I have it right. Because it's actually the same name as a famous ball player won. Mariscal. Or maybe Mariscal. He says it. Carrie, I think he says it during the interview. That'd be good if we knew exactly.
That would
I think
be
it's
nice.
Mariscal.
Yeah.
Either way, a good guy. He's one of the regional coordinators for campusreform.org. We talk about a lot of issues, like the changing of the SAT, depending on where you came from or what your skin color is. That's really stupid. Have I mentioned that stupid?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stupid. Just throwing it out there. Also, we're gonna talk about whether they're talking on campus about the possibility of impeaching the president, which is really kind of dumb. It's just dumb. I mean, I get it if Mueller would have found something. You found nothing. I get it if there were something, I mean, anything. At least they could hang their hat on it. What are they saying now, Carrie? You know what they're saying now?
What's that?
It's a cover-up.
What's
a cover-up? The Mueller report is out there. The whole thing is out there. You can read it, except for, I think, seven sentences or something are redacted. You can read the whole damn thing. What's the cover-up? And, you know, former President Obama is still claiming executive privilege on a lot of things. I mean, there are witnesses that are that Judicial Watch are asking to talk to, and they're still claiming executive privilege, just like he did on Eric Holder when it came to Fast and Furious. That was a cover-up. That was a lack of transparency. But for some reason, this president and 2+ years of an investigation that found nothing, now we should impeach him on the cover-up. And it's like everybody's saying it. I mean, I don't get a memo from conservatives, from the RNC, from the White House. I mean, we get pitches from people who are like-minded, but I never get anything. Okay, here are the talking points for today, like sent out by Sean Hannity. That doesn't happen. We seem to be aligned, and we're saying similar things some days because we actually are on the same side of issues. I think that's a good thing. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. All right, we'll take a call or two on whether you should wait to say something about a live event ending, and we've got much more to come, too. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
The website for details.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride, the Joe Pags Show. Got one now from what could be the stupidest story of the day, but it's also, I don't know, Carrie, should I call this segment the stupidest story of the day or Indoctrination Nation?
I like both of those, actually. I think both of those might fit. Yeah.
So hold on to that for a second. I'm going to call about the live programs. People seem to agree with me, although one person said, no, it doesn't make any difference whether it's live or it's taped. Stay off social media. So I guess we kind of agree, but I think that a live show is even more spectacular to accuse somebody of spoiling something when you could have just watched it. And Paul alluded to this earlier. Not everybody could go and see Endgame the first night, so spoiling that would be rude, but everybody was able to watch this show as it happened live. Well, I have to work. I couldn't watch it. Take the night off of work. It's a live program. Yeah, I remember in the day before, way back before we had the DVRs and the VCRs. What? Why does it make you laugh I use the old person voice?
No, it was just that, why is somebody going to take off the whole day of work to watch The Voice live?
Because if it's that important to them that they're going to be spoiled when they look at Twitter, either don't go to Twitter, don't go to Facebook, don't talk
idea.
To your friends,
yeah.
or take a couple hours off of work to watch the finale.
Okay.
Is something wrong with that? Because you know what? You would do it for Dancing with the Stars and shut it.
I would not.
That?
I don't even watch that anymore. You don't even know
Why
me.
Why not? It was because Rick Perry ruined it, didn't he?
I never said that. No.
Let's be honest. The secretary, we love him. We love him.
He wasn't the best.
He's a good guy. Love seeing him. Love hanging out with him. But man, I don't know who the advisor was who said, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you watch that episode of it or not? Or that series, that season?
I think I did.
What made you stop? Why did you stop watching Dancing with the Dorks?
I don't know. I just kind of got tired of it. It just didn't interest me anymore. So.
Because it's a bunch of idiots dancing around.
I used Maybe to like why. It, but not anymore.
Like, I used to watch the Do You Think You Can Dance? Or So You Think You Can Dance. I haven't watched that a few seasons either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a bunch of idiots up there dancing around.
Yeah.
Now, listen, a lot of them are talented, but the real draw of the show is you got some really, really bad dancers who actually think that they're good and they're trying out, too. That's what made American Idol good back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like American Idol, and they changed everything. And they changed all the judges, and, like, I've lost interest in that, too.
American Idol now is just a Katy Perry show. It's hours and hours of Katy Perry upstaging everybody.
Yeah. That's not interesting to me.
And Lionel Richie getting people to say, I'm Lionel Richie, or he's Lionel Richie.
Mm.
Which, by the way, is impressive if you're Lionel Richie. But, I mean, it's not about you guys. It was never about the judges. It was about the singers or the talent or the lack thereof, and the judges added great flavor. Now it's about the judges. Actually, it's about Katy Perry.
I don't like it.
And what is she making, $35 million a year or something to do that
show? Something crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Mike, what do you think of Mississippi? Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
I get that Chrissy Teigen was being sarcastic when she said, you know, let's wait for the whole country, the whole world to see it before, you know, she tweets. What is the proper waiting period? What would it be? I mean, a day, a week, 6 months?
I just checked, because it's a great question. I just checked with the people. You know, I've got people that I can check with. It's actually 7 years. You've got to wait 7 years before you can say anything. Yes. It's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I hadn't seen the Avengers, and it may be 6 months from now before I watch it. You know, you just had to avoid, you know, seeing anything about the Avengers, I guess.
So you're saying in 6 months they could say something?
Yeah, 6 months would be fine.
Okay. Mike, I appreciate it. We'll take that under advisement. What do you think, Carrie, 6 months?
No, as it happens, you know, like you said before, like we've said before, just stay off social media if you don't want to know what happens. And then go watch it. Come on.
Now one from our new file we're calling Indoctrination Nation. I think that's a good one, Indoctrination Nation.
I like it.
All right, so help us out here. The kids are upset, and it turns out the climate change is affecting something we didn't even expect.
Mm-hmm. From Market Watch, Lori Rodriguez, a 27-year-old communications professional in New York City, is not saving for retirement and isn't necessarily because she can't afford to. It's because she doesn't expect it to matter. Like many people her age, Rodriguez believes climate change will have catastrophic effects on our planet. Some 88% of millennials, a higher percentage than any other age group, accept that climate change is happening, and 69% say it will impact them in their lifetimes. Engulfed in a constant barrage of depressing news stories, many young people are skeptical about saving for an uncertain future. I want to hope for the best and plan for a future that is stable and secure, but when I look at current events and the world we are predicting, I do not see how things could not be chaotic in 50 years, Rodriguez says. The weather systems are already off, and I don't think it's hyperbolic to be a little apocalyptic. Mental health issues affecting young adults and adolescents in the U.S. have increased significantly in the past decade. A study published in March in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology found the number of individuals between the ages of 18 and 25 reporting symptoms of major depression increased 52% from 2005 to 2017. While older adults did not experience any increase in psychological stress at this time, and some age groups even saw it decreases. A study author, Gene Twinge, says this may be attributed to the increased use of digital media, which has changed modes of interaction enough to impact social lives and communication. And millennials are also said to suffer from echo anxiety, according to a 2018 report from the American Psychological Association, with 72% saying their emotional well-being is affected by the inevitability of climate change, compared with just 57% of people over the age of 45. And meanwhile, two-thirds of millennials, defined by Pew as the generation born between 1981 and 1996, have nothing saved for retirement. According to the National Institute on Retirement Security, the millennials who are saving had an average balance of $25,500 and were contributing 7.3% of their paychecks as of the second quarter of 2018, figures from Fidelity showed. While most millennials say they are not saving because they simply can't afford to, for others, it's about the feeling they may not have a future to save for.
Come on, dude. So if I peel back the layers of the onion, millennials are saying they've got less savings, no 401k or very small one, no pension, because of climate change. And whoever the educator was that was speaking, it's not hyperbolic to be end of the world like, or Armageddon, or what did she say? Whatever. The apocalypse is upon us, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then she talked about how in 50 years, there are going to be major effects. Has she not been listening to AOC?
It's going to happen in 12, according to AOC.
Yeah, 12. It's like 11 and a half now.
Dude, yeah.
Okay, Hannity cracked me up the other day. I had a sentiment text. I think I might have mentioned this on the air. But he said, if the world's ending in 12 years, I want my last meal to be a cow. I found that to be very funny.
Okay.
Because we have to get rid of cows, you know, belching or farting, whatever. Isn't it funny that if you say cow farts, there are actual farmers out there that get mad at me? Because allegedly cows don't fart, they burp.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Carrie, how boring is it on the range?
Ooh,
well, that's the argument
that?
You gotta
I know.
Have.
That's pretty boring.
Yeah, the damn Pags. The damn Pags up on that radio. Thinks he's highfalutin. Thinks cows fart.
They burp. Interesting.
They burp the methane.
Yeah, okay.
That's gross.
That's nasty.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
So, for me, we are indoctrinating the young people to the point to where they're almost like too far gone to be brought back. And when millennials say they're not saving any money, Carrie, I'm going to make an assertion here. You tell me if you think I'm nuts.
Okay.
Millennials aren't saving any money because they can't afford to because they're not freaking working jobs. They think that we should hand them the savings and hand them the money,
no,
and it just grows on trees. You know,
way.
Socialism and all. What were you going to say? You were going to say
right.
something?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good,
so
though.
Millennials don't have the money, by the way.
I was going to say, well, no wonder they're all depressed because they think, you know, in either 12 years or the next 50 years, it's going to be the end of civilization. So why bother?
We're all doomed, Carrie.
That's a depressing thought.
But seriously,
I'd like
if you don't.
Not, but...
I used to have it, because I've got a couple of bucks saved now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not much, but I'm doing okay. The bills can be paid for a little while should I lose the job, which isn't going to happen because we're kicking ass and taking names. But if something catastrophic were to happen, we'd be okay for a little while. When I didn't have much savings, and it wasn't that long ago, I actually said to myself, I should work more and make more money so I can save some. Why is that outlandish in this day and age? Why is that like somehow racist or ethnocentric or misogynistic or Islamophobic to say work more?
Work harder.
Then you'll have more money, then you can save some.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Did I miss something?
No. No. But it's a millennial mindset. They don't do it.
But I mean, those listening right now, if you're not, listen, if your monthly bill, let's just take a number. Your monthly bills are $1,000 and you make $1,100. You probably don't have much money to save. So what you say to yourself is, let me not change the level of my bills. Let me leave them at $1,000 and do everything I possibly can to make $2,000 a month. Then you can take $500, put it away, maybe even another $500 and have some fun. Or put away $750 or put away $900 and spend $100. I mean, why not cover your bills?
Sounds too logical.
And then add money on top of that because... Sam, I don't know if you remember all these jobs, but I mean, there was a time in your life that your dad, me, I would go and I would work, I would paint barns all day, host karaoke at night, do overnight news updates on the local NBC affiliate, and do radio on the weekends. And when I could, I'd play my saxophone out and record commercials for local businesses. You remember me working that much?
Yeah, I do remember you working that much. I mean, it was kind of a big deal that we never really saw Dad.
Right.
And
this is why she's so well adjusted. She never really saw Dad. Thanks, honey.
Well,
thanks for making my point.
I remember you would always come home every night for dinner, and that was a really big deal, and that was really special. But otherwise, it's like, yeah, well, you know, Mom's raising us, and Dad's working.
Working his ass off is what Dad was doing. And yeah, Carrie, I'd always make even when I was doing television news, in between the 6 and 11 o'clock newscast, I would come home and we would have dinner.
That's good.
Yeah, so we always made sure that we did that. But I mean, the bottom line was we had bills. We did not have enough money to save a bunch of money, and we wanted our kids to have a future. We wanted to make sure that we'd be okay. And I'm not saying that I'm special because I'm not. What I'm saying is I'm an example of what you can do. So if you're working one job and it's not covering it, work two. If you're working two jobs and it's not covering it, work three. Or really be on the lookout for a better job, a higher paying job, doing the same sort of thing that you're doing. You know what I mean? So why is that difficult to understand?
It shouldn't be. It's not.
But instead, they're taking surveys and giving interviews to people complaining about how they don't have enough money to save because of global warming or climate change. And they truly believe it. If you talk to one of these glazed over dorks, they're going to be like, no, man, it's the earth. It's because of the climate. What? There are literally more jobs available in this country right now than we have people available to work them. Let me say it again. There are more jobs available than we have actual human beings in the workforce to go and work them. So go and get yourself one of those jobs, you know, because I had no problem driving a dump truck all day and delivering pizzas at night. I had no problem delivering pizzas at night and doing my saxophone on the weekend, and no problem digging ditches on the construction job and cleaning up debris and then going and playing the piano somewhere. So again, I'm not special. I'm just a guy who wanted some money in my pocket. It's funny, if you ask my mother, when I was 18, I was driving for Domino's Pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would come home at the end of the night with like 100 singles in my pocket. I'd iron them and make it look like it was about $3,000, put it in my pocket and feel good about myself. I had a couple of bucks.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Wanted to go bowl, wanted to go to Burger King and have a burger and a soda. I could, because it worked. Today's day and age, you're like, I can't believe I don't have any stuff. I'm like, well, you're sitting at home on the video game. What are you talking about? Go and get some stuff. There's a bunch of stuff out there. Go get it. It's actually simple. But one last question before I go to break, because my face starting to hurt. Are you surprised at all that educators are making people think you don't have what it is you want because of climate change? I'm actually not.
No, I'm not really. Mm-mm.
Because if you can say you're lacking this in your life, the reason why is climate change. Climate change. Then the people are going to go, oh my God, I don't have what I want because of climate change.
Yeah.
I must hate climate change. We must stop climate change. We must learn how to compost, which is very hard.
And
we must make
yucca.
We must make yucca and plantains, but only if our skin tone is the right shade. Right.
That's called
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with what I just said, to be honest with you. But what I do want to know from you listening right now, call in, is what do we do about it? When you've got somebody who's so incredibly indoctrinated for 13 years of public school, and then another 3, 4, 5, 10 years in college, and they come out and they really, really believe this crap, how do you fix it? Because I don't think we want to live in a land where the majority of people think that way. We're lucky enough right now that it's not the majority, but it could be. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi. All right, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations all over. Thanks a lot for taking the time. It's the Joe Pags Show. Lots of people want to be heard. We'll get to the phones in just a moment here. Let me tell you about Super Beats. Super Beats is a great product. Super Beats is something that I take in the morning. It gets the blood flow going, the circulation going, because it helps you to produce more nitric oxide naturally. All right? It's a product, a molecule, nitric oxide, that is enhanced by the product Super Beats that really does regulate your blood flow. It helps your circulation. Your cardiovascular system depends on it. And we make less of it as we get older. Okay? And the bottom line is, this is a good superfood made from something natural, beets. They've got wild cherry flavor if you prefer that. But even the beets flavor doesn't taste like beets to me, because I don't like beets. But I like Super Beets because I know how good it is for my body, for my heart, for my health. Try Super Beets risk-free for 90 days. Just go to joelovesbeets.com. Get the special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at joelovesbeets.com. Free nitric oxide indicator strips, too. joelovesbeets.com or call 1-800-516-8389. Do it right now. They go to the phone lines. People still calling it about the Chrissy Teigen thing, about live shows, whether you should say something or not. But I also want to hear from people about these millennials that they just don't think they have to work, then complain they don't have any money. Somebody told them, well, you don't have any money because of climate change, and they freaking believed it, which is crazy to me. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to John in Minnesota. John, what's going on?
Oh, not much, Joe. Glad to be on with you.
Come on, brother.
Nervous,
no, don't be nervous. I'm just a doofus on the radio. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, we listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And I think you might be missing something on the voice. It's live, but I know Saturday Night Live is live, but it's only live on the Central and the Eastern time zones.
Right.
And they replay it in the Pacific and Mountain.
Right.
And I think what happened was she got the information out before the West Coast actually saw it on TV.
Well, you have to understand, she didn't actually start it. NBC did it. NBC, The Voice, sent out a tweet after the win, and then she just retweeted it. It's not like she told everybody what happened. The actual official website or the official Twitter account of NBC, The Voice, tweeted out the video of this young lady winning. So, again, I don't think Chrissy Teigen did anything wrong. I did take into account the fact that the West Coast gets it later. I understand that. But you know what? That goes with the deal when you live in the West Coast. It's a live event. It really happened. That's the way it works.
Well, that sounds good.
All right, John, I love you. John's a good guy, but I've got a bunch of phone calls that I want to try to get to. John, call back again. I think you did great. You know what I mean? Carrie, I think he did great.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit nervous. No reason to be nervous.
Yeah, it's just
I didn't have time to ask him, you know, about Ilhan Omar. Those of you in Minnesota, seriously, something's got to be done. She should be recalled or something. We'll have what she had to say about Ben Carson and his response when we come back and much more. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Fatio and more. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, glad to have you here. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right? Uh-huh. Say what? Thursday almost Friday, the weekend's almost here.
Every night I have.
That is Chocolate Voice, your own self.
Just dream, imprisoned by the way.
How you doing, Chocolate Voice?
Pretty good. How are you?
Left here. You actually answer to it now? You actually answer to Chocolate Voice?
I kind of like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Ilhan Omar goes after Ben Carson. Doesn't turn out so well for her. We'll have that for you and much more. First we sing. Thursday almost Friday, weekend's almost here.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Wow, that was like a protein bar got just stuck in my throat. What happened?
Yes, I'm feeling all right.
Harmony, the people love the harmony, Carrie.
I'm not
feeling
too good myself.
No. Why is it, hey, Margaret, why is this guy singing on the TV?
Yeah, sorry, people.
Ain't none of your business, Harry. Take a nap. What? Wait a second. Is that nice?
That was pretty bad.
So we do have a lot to get to. Ilhan Omar decided that she'd go after Dr. Ben Carson. You know, the guy that saved a bunch of babies' lives by operating on their brains, some of them in the womb. You know, that guy. I'm not really sure why the left feels so comfortable attacking this guy. A, I'll have you noticed, he's a huge success out of the rough streets of Detroit. B, he's black. Isn't that what they said, the left said they wanted? Hmm. More success for minorities, more success for the underprivileged. This guy grew up underprivileged. Didn't they want, why don't they look at him and say, be like Ben Carson? Remember like they used to say, everybody, the song was Be Like Mike, like
yes.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
And look, by the way, I agreed with that. Be like Michael Jordan. He was a huge success. He was a guy that was cut from his junior high basketball team or his junior varsity basketball team in high school and then went on to like win the national championship in college at North Carolina, and then go on and win 6 championships in the NBA, probably would have had a 10 if he didn't like quit and go play baseball for a few years. I don't understand. I'm actually confused. Why isn't he the poster child for we're the left, this is what we want more of? Because it's not really about fixing race relations. It's not really about fixing what seems to be an inequity, according to them, in our society. It's about ideology. You must agree with us, or else you're on the outs. I mean, there are many on the left that would call Ben Carson a house N-word. I actually had people call my show and call AJ that, because AJ believes in conservative American values. So does Ben Carson. They would call Ben Carson an Uncle Tom, which again is ridiculous, because he is the quintessential example of how you can be underprivileged and become not only good at what you do, but the best. But Ilhan Omar feels comfortable going after him. There was some, I remember her name. I don't even know where she was from. Some other representative who asked him what an REO was, which is real estate owned. And it actually means that the bank or the lien holder owns it again because it was foreclosed on. Did you see this back and forth? She asked Ben Carson, do you know what REO is? He said, an Oreo?
Yeah.
Like a cookie. And he wasn't being funny. He thought that's what she said. Now, I'm watching her, and I'm thinking, all right, so she was a real estate agent or a broker for a long time. And because of that, she's now going to talk down to the preeminent brain surgeon in the world, on the planet. And she went ahead and condescended and talk down to Dr. Ben Carson for several minutes. Well, I did this for a living, and I saw people who lost their homes. People are losing their homes. Can you tell me why? How do you not know what an REO is? Well, do you know what this foreclosure bop-a-jupa-dap-a-doo is? You don't. Well, I must be smarter than you. And the whole time he's sitting here thinking, and I'm going to get a Ben Carson stance because he's sort of sitting back like this. whole time he's thinking, Mac, operate in your brain and fix this. You know what I mean? He's thinking, I can fix this issue right now, lady. All right? Get in there, adjust this, change this wire, and make this nerve touch the other thing. You'll be loving Ben Carson then. So, it was ridiculous. It was disdain coming out of her mouth. And she was literally saying, because I spent several years in the real estate industry, which is a very important industry, and there's some great people that do it. Don't misunderstand me. But as much as I love you, you're not a brain surgeon, okay? And look, at least talk on the same level. Don't condescend the doctor. And if you don't know his mannerisms already, I don't know what your issue is. And she kept asking, what are you going to do about this? And he said, well, I'm going to get it to the proper people in my department. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go talk to the people who handle that. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to delegate it to the people that handle that in the Department of Housing and Urban Development. What's your question? And Ilhan Omar, who should be kissing the ground she walks on, that she was saved from a wretched, disgusting, horrible life in Somalia and given a new opportunity in the United States of America, more specifically Minnesota, she decides that that was her cue to go after Dr. Carson. So I'll have the whole back and forth in a moment, but I've got some people holding on from last hour, and I appreciate you doing so. At the end of last hour, Carrie read a story about how several millennials, I guess a majority that were questioned or polled in this story, were saying they don't have any savings or much savings at all because they just don't have enough money left over to save anything. I guess it was supposed to be a commentary to how horrible the economy is. And my point was, I used to not have any savings either. Then I started working two jobs, then three jobs, then four jobs, then five jobs. And I've heard every excuse there is in this country where there are more jobs available than people available to work them. There is no excuse for you going and getting another job. Just like there's no excuse for somebody who's got a degree in something sitting on the couch waiting for a job in that industry, in that field. Go flip burgers. Go deliver pizzas. Go tutor students. Go do something. You can do something. But sitting on the couch, you're collecting an unemployment check or going to work 30 or 40 hours a week and thinking that the problem with you not having any savings is somebody's other than yours, that's a mistake. There are plenty of jobs out there for you to go and do to supplement your income so you can have some savings. So there's some people who want to talk about that. I'm going to very quickly go to you. Let me say hello and welcome to line two. It's Venus in San Antonio. Venus, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Living the dream. What's happening?
So, good. I've got three kids. They're all millennials.
Yeah.
Two of my girls are adults. My oldest girl, she's in college. She's going to college to study to be a doctor.
Great.
Very bright girl. No excuse. Not going to hand anything to her. Sometimes that girl works two and three jobs so she can have money, and she doesn't feel comfortable just having money. She also puts money in a savings.
Great.
So she knows, and I taught her, that ain't nobody going to hand money to her. I'll help her, but I won't help her if she's not going to help herself. And that's what these millennials need. They need to learn. Nobody's going to help them.
Yeah, but Venus, didn't you hear the story? The reason why people don't have savings is global warming and climate change.
Yeah,
and
that was another thing. No, but I didn't, I didn't educate my children to be stupid. You can't believe everything that you read on the internet. You know, you need to see what's in front of you. I my girls know. I can tell you that my whole family has cancer, and a lot of them died before they were 60. So why would I have a savings? I'm going to be dead before then. That's the stupidest thing to say. You always need to be prepared no matter what.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Always. It doesn't matter. A lot of us are going to die before we retire.
But, well, I hope to die behind the microphone. Is that gross? I'm just going to keep on working. No, I'm not going to retire. Why would I want to do that? Who's retiring? I'm having too much fun giving Carrie a hard time.
Well, when you love your job, it's not a job. It's
exactly,
a passion.
Exactly
that's
right.
What I do. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, why would you not prepare? You know what I mean? You can't say, well, I'm not going to be here, so I'm just not going to save, or it's going to be global warming, it's going to be a disaster, I don't need the money.
Right.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard, and I think that's a reflection of the parents, because my girls, if they said that coming out of their mouth, I'd probably smack them. How dare you say something like that? I didn't teach you to act stupid. I mean, come on.
Listen, I love the way you raised them, and it sounds like your daughters are doing great. Really good job, Venus. I appreciate you. I'm going to Greg in Atlanta. Greg, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. I'm just out here truck driving.
Cool.
And I was going to talk to you about, you said that you got to get another job or whatever. Well,
yes.
I work my 70 hours a week, but the government won't let me work anymore because of hours of service. It's like I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. So that means I'm sitting in the truck for 5 or 6 hours watching new drivers trying to back in the spot.
Well, then go do something else in those 5 or 6 hours. I don't know. I mean, the bottom line isn't you shouldn't be able to force your company to give you more hours. There's other opportunity out there for you. I guess what you're saying is you're already working 70. Let me say this: if you're working 70 hours a week as a truck driver, you're making pretty good bank. So let's not lie. So if you're not putting any away, that's on you, isn't it?
No, I'm making good bank, and I am, and I have money saved up. But if I'm away from home, I want to earn as much as I can. So just another truck doing nothing.
Well, I don't want to get into the weeds on the whole regulations, but I know that a lot of truck drivers like you feel like the government is overruly with you, and I get that. So do you really think you should be able to drive 18 hours a day? I don't, because I think after a certain amount of hours, you get tired. I've done it. You get tired.
No, I agree. I just don't feel like we should have to be babysat. If you feel tired, pull over. I don't care if you're only 2 hours into your day. If you're tired, pull over.
Yeah, but see, you're responsible. Let's say there's a truck driver out there who's not responsible, and he's going to pull over into my minivan and kill my family. I don't want that because the guy's falling asleep behind the wheel. I mean, you can understand that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I feel like, too. The government has to babysit everybody and do that because of that, those kind of people.
Well, I think that we want to avoid that. I mean, you sound like you agree with me, but how many hours would you like to drive?
Whatever I feel comfortable with for the day. Some days I don't feel
I love you. I trust you. I don't trust everybody else. Because everybody else says, some other guy's going to say, well, I'll bet you $500 I can get there before you and drive for 36 straight hours and then drive the truck off a cliff. I mean, I don't want that to happen. I think they're as much as I'm against overwhelming government regulation and control, I think that there should be speed limits. I think that there should be police officers stopping people from driving recklessly. And I think that there should be some sort of a regulation over how many hours you can drive. Now, is stopping it at 10, is that the right number? I mean, for me, I drove a truck 10 hours. I could have driven longer, but should I drive it for 18? No, I don't think so. And I don't really think that it is individual. I think that you can find an average of what does work for truck drivers and what doesn't. I do believe beyond the hours driven, because we're probably not going to agree on that, you guys are overwhelmingly regulated, and I think that should be backed off some. But as far as the forced downtime, there has to be some forced downtime, because you know there are idiots out there that would drive until they fell asleep and drove off the road. You know that they would.
Yeah, well, you have that 34-hour reset every week, too, so you just sit in the truck for 34 hours.
I never heard about a 34-hour reset. See, that's what I'm saying. I think that the other regulations are overwieldy, and I think that they should probably back off of them some. But the whole, can I drive for 140 hours a week? I don't think you should. I think that'd be crazy. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coming right back. We'll have the Ben Carson versus Elon Omar dust up. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
All right, glad to have you. Welcome to the program, The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Elon Omar, who should be on thin ice with even her own party because of her disgustingly racist and anti-Semitic comments about Israel, and because she's been involved in fundraising for groups that support Palestine, which is run by a racist organization, Hamas, a person who has said ridiculous things about this country and said on 9/11 some people did something. You would think that she would shut up for a minute and let her racism and hatred for the country subside, and then maybe peek her head out every once in a while to vote on something. But instead, she's in the Ford, much like AOC, who keeps on saying stupid things. I mean, I played that video yesterday. Carrie, I had more reaction to that video of AOC yesterday than I've had in a long time.
Really?
To a lot of things, and people are like,
I was something.
I mean, I can't stop laughing. I'm literally rolling on the floor. I can't stop laughing at this woman. Mm. So now you got Elon Omar, who's in the same group as AOC and Rashida Tlaib and this woman, Presley, who was actually the person questioning Dr. Carson yesterday or whatever. All handpicked by the far left. The Young Turks had a hand in it. They were basically answering a casting call. And now they're in Congress. They're literally in our Congress now, just being ridiculous. So Dr. Carson is in front of a House panel being questioned by ridiculous leftists that are just saying the dumbest things, and oh, I'm a real estate agent and you're nothing, and he's like, well, I can operate in your brain. Elon Omar, I guess, was watching the back and forth between Presley, Representative Presley, and Ben Carson, and at one point I guess he tries to reclaim his time, which is something that members of Congress do, not necessarily witnesses. If you can, just give me that story. And as you do that, I'm gonna show on the screen for TV the tweet that Omar put out there.
Came from Fox News, Ben Carson's fired back at Representative Ilhan Omar after the controversial freshman congresswoman criticized him after a hearing Tuesday. Omar knocked the Housing and Urban Development Secretary over his conduct during an appearance before the House Financial Services Committee. Not sure he was fully awake. Maybe he meant to reclaim his time back to sleep, she tweeted. And she's playing off of Carson's request for time during a testy exchange with Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Democrat from Massachusetts. Carson, a renowned doctor and former director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Children's Center, fired back in a tweet by touting his endurance during marathon surgeries. Quote, since you brought it up, I know what it's like to actually be sleepy, especially after 18-hour surgeries and operating on babies in the womb, he wrote. While he was at it, Carson also took a shot at Omar's position on abortion. I hope at Ilhan MN knows I care about all people, even though she doesn't recognize as having a right to life. Omar in May defended abortion access as a slew of states, particularly Alabama, passed laws imposing major restrictions on the practice. Women's rights are human rights, she previously tweeted.
Boom. Damn. Bam. Are there other ones that I can use, Carrie?
I think you caught it covered.
Slam. Mm. Destroyed. I mean, Ben Carson's demeanor is very, very soft-spoken. He's very confident, while at the same time, almost looking too laid back. Now, I don't think he's too laid back. I understand the guy. These people think that he's fair game to attack. Doesn't matter race, doesn't matter ethnicity, doesn't matter gender, doesn't matter success, doesn't matter, I mean, accomplishments. None of that matters to these people. They will attack anybody, I mean, with everything they have, who doesn't agree with them. And he's right. He's 100% right. Here's a guy that built his life on saving life, including those still in the womb, while this woman is for wiping any living person out of a womb that a woman feels like wiping out of there. And that's crazy to me. But I'm glad that he responds. You know, of course he responded differently than the president might. The president would have called her a few names and then made fun of her name and then probably made fun of her headdress, and then he would have been the bad guy, the victim. Or he would have been the attacker, she would have been the victim. She's the attacker here. She's the aggressor. And Dr. Carson wasn't going to take BCDC. Ben Carson don't care. So the question that has to go with this, and I wonder where people are on this, is as members of the administration start to get their footing, start to dig in even more, know that there was no collusion, no obstruction, know that their opportunity here is to help make America better for tomorrow. Do you think they should keep on responding like this? I mean, here's a sitting member of Congress, again, attacking somebody because she feels like it. There was no reason. Carrie, is there a good reason you could think of why she would have gotten into this?
No, I can't think of one.
Let me make fun of Ben Carson trying to reclaim his time. Okay, he made a mistake. We all make them. And even a funny tweet about it would have been okay. But to go after the guy? Go to sleep? Maybe he wasn't awake? Who are you? You're somebody who should be kissing the ground you stand on. That you're in this country and not being treated like a nothing in Somalia. Women are nothing there. Here, she's suddenly in the forefront of, you know, we can't stand Israel and let's abort all the babies. What the hell are we doing, man? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Do you want the Trump administration and officials therein to continue to respond like this? I do, because Republicans too often roll over, and I don't think they should be rolling over. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Also, campus reform when we come back. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, the live video feed at Newsmax TV. The Joe Pags Show coming your way, and really glad to have our campus reform hit. We do this once a week. We talk to these amazing young journalists. These are reporters and editors that are actually out doing the legacy media every single day. Go to campusreform.org, campusreform.org. Read their stories every day. You're going to love what you read. Today, it's Sam Mariscal. He is one of the regional field coordinators with campusreform.org. Going to get into a couple of stories, Sam. First of all, welcome to the program. Thanks.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I really appreciate having you on. I know we've got some stories that we're going to talk about, but I normally start with what's trending, what the big story of the day appears to be. And this week, it's this continued idea of impeaching the president, even though No collusion was found in the Mueller report, and obstruction, no obstruction was found by the AG afterwards. But yet there's still this push on the left to get him impeached. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House yesterday, said that he's now participating in a cover-up. And the president said, no infrastructure meeting. I'm not going to meet with these people as long as they're investigating and doing this cover-up talk. What are you hearing from the young journalists that you talk to? What are you hearing from the campuses that campus reform is on? Are people buzzing about this, or is it just dorks like me that care?
Well, actually, a lot of people care. The whole country cares, particularly on college campuses. What's interesting is that on college campuses in the Northeast, you're having sort of the same conversation from college professors and administrators that Trump needs to be impeached. A lot of Ivy Leagues and big liberal schools in the Northeast are calling for his impeachment. They're on the same boat as all the Democrats, as you would suspect. But the irony here is that in college, we're expected to know the facts. We're expected to have evidence.
Exactly.
And make good argument, but yet where are the facts? Are the facts are actually on Trump's favor because nothing has been proven.
Yeah.
And these college administrators and college professors, they're kind of going back on their own education by saying that they're advocating for something that there is no evidence on.
I haven't heard a better point than that in a long time. So in other words, I go to a professor's class and he or she says, here's the assignment. I do the assignment according to the facts I was given, and I've got to stick to the facts, and if I do, I'll get an A. What are the chances I can get that assignment, decide to do something completely different, turn it in and say, these are the facts according to me, now give me my A? Probably not very good.
Not very good, but, you know, it happens all the time, actually, because you have a lot of college students that are conservative and stick to the facts and stick only to the facts. But as soon as they start questioning the liberal indoctrination that a lot of these professors have that requires going outside of the facts or reading between the lines or something like that, then you don't get an A.
That's
so
crazy.
It works in reverse in some ways.
It's Sam Mariscal. He is, of course, a great member of Leadership Institute's campusreform.org. Go to that website every day like I do. He's a regional field coordinator. So what does that mean? You actually talk to the reporters out there at the different college campuses and see what stories they're working on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing here we do at the Leadership Institute's Campus Reform is that we provide students information and stories by students. So it is a publication for students by students.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Joe, if it wasn't for Campus Reform, there would be no outlet for a lot of conservatives on college campuses.
Right.
Campus Reform has given an opportunity for conservatives to voice their opinions, the same things that they go through on college campuses. So I personally meet with some of these students. I hear their stories. I help them coordinate events, planned activism events, planned speaker events. We host different kinds of speakers. We build coalitions on campus because we don't want a single conservative student or libertarian student to feel like they're alone out there in a very liberal society, very progressive society that the United States is trending right now.
Yeah, exactly right. I think you guys are doing a great job at that as well. Make sure you go to campusreform.org every day. Let's talk about this SAT adversity score thing. The SATs it's just a gauge to see what it is that you retained from your education in either public school or private school, whatever you were in as you were leading up to trying to go to college. The SAT is a really good gauge because it's a general overview that all the students should have a good grasp on. They're now talking about adversity scores, which if I read it, and I want you to explain it better than I'm about to, but it appears to say minorities have a harder time learning or something. Or because of where they grew up, or because of the poverty level in their neighborhood, or because of crime, they therefore don't need to have as much education, so we're going to adjust the scores a little bit. Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, it's true. Now, Joe, I don't know if you ever played golf, but maybe you're familiar with a handicap.
Yes.
Like, handicap kind of works that way, where you're given points because of your, honestly, terrible swing.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, so I see this actually as a handicap, and it's a handicap based on the assumption that students have already failed. It's an assumption that because you've gone through some hardships in life, we're not going to reward you for your work ethic, for your hardships, but we're going to reward you for just being a diverse student, whatever that means. Now, we actually don't know the criteria yet, because a lot of the data that's coming in, the College Board has yet to release their actual sources for these data. Now, I think some of this data that's coming in is general public knowledge, but they haven't made that exactly clear. And they haven't made exactly clear their standards. I think right now it's a 10 to 50 point addition, but again, it's not very clear. What it is clear is that it actually rewards, it doesn't reward merit, and it doesn't incentivize work ethic.
It's Sam Mariscal. Sam, your last name tells me that you're Latin. My last name tells you that I'm Italian. So would you have been affected by this? And do you, as somebody who is seen by the left as diverse, how would you have felt had they said, we're going to give you a few extra points because of your skin tone or your ethnic background?
You know, I actually would be somewhat offended by that because, you know, like you said, we're Italian, you're Italian, I'm Hispanic. We already know that. We already know we're diverse. We don't need to be rewarded for that. What I want to know is how can I be rewarded for my merit, for the hours that I spend grilling my face on a book or the hours I spend reading. And that's what I want to be rewarded for. We have a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Italians that take pride in their adversity, not the diversity. We do have our diversity things that we're very proud of. But overall, we try to accomplish more than that because that's not our identity as a whole. Our identity is based on our merit.
And I just want to interrupt because you're absolutely right. It's racist. It's ethnocentric. It is horribly condescending to say you're not as smart as I am because I'm seen as more white as you. That's just dumb. It's not only dumb, it's denigrating to your entire community. It's denigrating to us as the melting pot that we are. How dare you say black people can't learn? How dare you say Hispanic people can't learn? How dare you say women can't learn? So we have to give them extra points or an extra boost. No. Figure out why maybe in some communities they're not learning at the same pace and fix that. Don't fix the actual person or pretend that person needs the extra help, because what's going to happen, Sam, when they get into the workforce? The job is going to be the job, and the boss isn't going to say, well, I'm going to let you slack off a little bit because you're Latino. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why I keep saying that it's an assumption on students that already failed. It's based on an assumption of failure because of my skin tone. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And you're right. I would rather I walk into a workforce where I've faced adversity and I've conquered through things, because you're right. There are consequences to these handicaps that will affect a student's life later on. There are consequences, and no one's talking about the consequences.
Yeah, I often make the comparison to photo ID. The argument about photo ID, and I'm in Texas, so in Texas we now have photo ID. You've got to show a government-issued photo ID to go and vote. The argument was it's a poll tax, you're making people pay for things. They said, okay, we'll give it to you free if you can't afford a government-issued photo ID. Well, it's unfair to black people, to Hispanics, to young people, and to old people. In other words, they're telling us, the left is telling us, that black people, Hispanics, young people, and old people, and women can't figure out how to get a driver's license. Now, I've never met a black person in my life, and I've known plenty. I've never met a Hispanic person in my life, and I've known plenty that doesn't have a driver's license. I don't know anybody who doesn't know how to go and get a government-issued ID for free. The allegation that only white men know how to go and get a driver's license or a free government-issued ID is so horribly racist, it makes my face hurt.
That's true. Now, a lot of this policy that the College Board is putting out is exactly that. It's getting race without specifically using race. It's overall a racist policy based on hidden smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
But I think overall this is becoming something very, very interesting, because I think it's a reaction to a conservative Supreme Court striking down affirmative action. I think this is mostly based on fear. They're trying to get ahead of the curve. They're seeing that they're losing the trend. They know that Trump is going to get elected again, and there's a very good chance that he's going to get elected again. And then they might lose the Supreme Court as a whole, and affirmative action might get struck down. So they're trying to find.
They're going to do it on the education level. They're going to do affirmative action themselves through changing policies about the test. That's just dumb. It's Sam Mariscal, one of the regional field coordinators at campusreform.org. So Morehouse College students get an unbelievable surprise. Robert Smith, a billionaire, decides he's going to foot the bill. And I love why he said he was able to do it.
Yes, absolutely. So this is an example, a clear contrast between one man's philanthropic man's vision versus the government board's or the college board's idea of equality and diversity. So this is just a great example. And he made his generous gift to the Morehouse class, his class of 2019, through his own philanthropic ends.
Right.
This is a man who, by the way, he was, as a baby, marched with MLK.
Oh, wow.
His mom took him as a baby to march on Washington. So, and his parents, the African-American parents, allowed him to go through some adversity. They drilled him on being educated. And overall, he succeeded because of his adversity, because he became successful, not through shortcuts or, handicaps.
Yeah, the reason why I gave you the lead like I did is I see a quote here that says it was made possible by capitalism. Did he say that?
I believe so. I haven't.
I mean, it's in quotations. I mean, but that's startling that, in this world where, these young people are all enamored with the idea of socialism. Here's a guy that just paid off their college loan debt by saying it was made possible by capitalism. That's strong.
Exactly. You know, capitalism, it's not just about the way the left puts it. It's about greedy people. Capitalism allows for the most generous people to give freely.
Exactly.
In fact, $410 billion of charity were given away in charities and philanthropic causes just last year alone. We're the most generous nation on the planet because we're capitalists.
Right. And that's always been the case. Listen, I could talk to you for a long time, Sam. I think you've got great knowledge on these great, very interesting topics. Let's do it again, okay?
Hey, thanks, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's Sam Mariscal. He's one of the regional field coordinators over at campusreform.org. Go to that website every day like I do and check out this great reporting. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
See the website for details.
Memorial weekend planning begins with the weather. Coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you, the Joe Pag Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always have a lot to talk about. Certainly take your calls on the whole dust-up between Ilhan Omar and Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, of course, cool as he could possibly be and very smooth in his response. Ilhan Omar has overestimated her alignment with most of America. And I think that AOC has done the same thing, to be honest with you. I think that they think all Americans think like them. We don't. Not even close. Rashida Tlaib, too. This, what's Presley's first name? Do you know?
Ayanna,
from,
I think.
From Massachusetts?
Ayanna, is that what it is? That's okay. How you say it.
They are the four newbies that are the loudest, most annoying new members of Congress. And a lot of people gave them a lot of credit. A lot of people gave them a lot of leeway. You know, AOC keeps saying stupid things, but she's brand new. She's 28, 29 years old, and she's the future. And Ilhan Omar, oh, look at her story. She's a poor refugee from Somalia who made good. And, wow, it's really cool that she wears the hijab when she goes to work and all that. And, man, look how diverse we are. And Rashida Tlaib, I guess, because she's Muslim, I don't know. I think she's from Michigan. And I don't think that she's here from somewhere else. And I don't know what Presley's deal is, maybe just because she's a young woman and she happens to be black as well. I don't know. But they got a lot of leeway. But now America's starting to figure it out. Already, I am confident that AOC will not get reelected because of all the jobs she chased away. $25 billion in jobs. Just chased them away. Because she thought we could spend the $3 to $6 billion in tax abatements better in some other way. What she doesn't realize is if the work doesn't come to your district, there's no need for a $3 to $6 billion tax abatement in return for the $19 billion in after-tax abatement, you know, increase in revenues and income. I mean, this is somebody alleges she has a economics degree. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Because of that alone, she's probably done in her district. They'll still elect a Democrat, but it's not going to be somebody who has no knowledge whatsoever and who keeps on saying and doing ridiculous things and representing you. Ilhan Omar has her own issues. It's alleged that she married her brother in order to help him come here. It's alleged that she lied under oath in documents from court where she said she hadn't seen the guy in years and years. And there are Facebook posts of them together recent, you know, to when that happened. And here's a person that is, well, according to the Judicial Watch, should be under investigation. So if you're these people who got this first honeymoon reaction, we love these new faces, love the diversity, love the lady power, woman power, whatever. That when it started wearing off, they should have been smart enough to start shutting up. You don't attack Ben Carson for no reason. That's stupid. You don't attack Israel for no reason. That's stupid. Because now you're raising red flags. Well, how is she representing us? And what is it that she's saying? And who is she saying it to? And people pay attention to that stuff. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. You take calls on that in a moment. Let me tell you about ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is a virtual private network system. You click one button on the program. And what it does is it changes what you look like on the internet. In other words, it takes your internet protocol, your IP address, and it changes it. So the websites that you're going to don't know who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. And that's the way it should be. You should be anonymous when you're on the web. There shouldn't be people always throwing advertising at you. Shouldn't be people collecting your data like your ISP and selling it off to people for a profit. And there shouldn't be bad guys looking to crook your private information. and use it somehow to get your money, get your passwords, get your bank account numbers and all of that. So ExpressVPN runs in the background. It's easy. Doesn't interfere with anything. It's the fastest VPN I've ever tried. That's why I use it. You've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. And because you listen to my program, you can save some money. ExpressVPN.com/PAGS, ExpressVPN.com/PAGS. Get 3 months free with a one-year package. Go to ExpressVPN.com/PAGS and do it right now. All right, a lot of people want to be heard. We don't have a ton of time. I'm going to grab, let me go to line one. It's Julia in Ohio. Got about a minute, Julia. What's happening?
Okay. Now, Helen Keller, she was blind, she was deaf, and she couldn't speak. And they're talking about the blacks? Do you get what I'm saying? She couldn't do that, and she graduated with top honors from several colleges.
Well, I think, right. Well, what they have wrong is that they're underestimating people. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate you. Underestimating people based on their race. On their skin color, their background. They're doing it on purpose. They're actually denigrating an entire race of people by saying they can't take the SAT, or they can't get a photo ID, or they can't fill in the blank. And I'm somebody who says, I think black people can, and I think Hispanic people can, and I think women can, I think the old can, I think the young can. I think they all can do it. And it's the left that's saying they can't. It's the same left that held slaves and had Jim Crow and segregation and were lynching people. The KKK is a leftist organization created by Democrats. That's what it is. It's the same left it's always been. That's not going to change. So that's why I want to keep my voice loud and say I do believe that all people have the ability to take the SAT and do well. Got to go on TV. Back tomorrow. We are going to continue on radio. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Our family leisure.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there also. The live video feed, glad to have you here, too. The Joe Pag Show coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right. Come on.
Seems I got to have a change in scene. Cause every night I have the strangest dreams.
Grand Funk Railroad getting it done from Flint, Michigan.
I got to leave before I start to scream.
Or Clio or Grand Blanc or that area. Thursday, almost Friday, the weekend's almost here. Let's go. Getting her done for you.
Feeling all right.
Carrie exhausted. Not going to work tomorrow. Just... God forbid. Now, see, this is one thing that I don't want to hear, though. Don't let me be in the car tomorrow to the gym or something and hear you doing the news. Don't let me hear you doing the news tomorrow. You better not be working half the day and take it off my show. Because you've done that a lot. Well, I better not hear the chocolate tones doing the news on my ride into the gym.
Maybe you should listen to something else tomorrow.
Wow.
Listen to some music or something.
Wow, so you feel comfortable working half the day as long as it's not this half.
That's not true. This half happens to coincide with why I need off tomorrow night.
Wow.
So.
And again, I talked to you, so he's not interested in you being
there.
That's not
true.
Just let you know.
That's not true.
No. It actually is true.
No, it is not. No.
And the conversation with Mario actually went something like, bro, I don't know how to make her stop going to these things. I mean, she just keeps showing up.
Hello? No, and that's like, my family.
I don't know. No, you might just have to have a conversation.
Your bro would never say that about me. Never. Never. It's my family.
If he says, Carrie, we have to talk. Just hear him out.
I will. I'll listen. But yeah, don't listen to the radio tomorrow.
Wow.
Put a CD in.
You're not going to get paid, are you? Are they going to pay you because you're coming in and doing a couple of newscasts? Wow. You got a real game going. You got a real scam going on, Lockie.
It's not a scam.
Oh, whatever.
It's not a scam.
I'm going to need to see pictures from this alleged event tomorrow night.
Okay.
I'm going to need to see pictures. And I don't need a picture of your boots and a glass of wine.
It's not an alleged event. Okay? It is an event.
It is. Okay, by the way, you know, I lit up this reporter who did the OK sign story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, dude. The headline is, High school spends $53,000 to reprint yearbooks after students flash racist sign. Is that journalism?
No. Sounds like
I don't know. The OK sign is not a racist sign. So I went after it. We'll talk about that in a little while. But I want to start with this ridiculousness that, for some reason, the American Taliban is out?
Yes.
What have I missed? Why did this guy not get a life sentence for being the piece of crap that he is?
I don't know. Or why did he get out early? I don't even know that.
Help me. Fill us in, please.
Okay, let me get that.
Let me let you get that. You send it to me.
I know. I have it
already
right
on,
here.
You're already off, aren't you? You're already on vacation, aren't you?
No.
Already mailing it in.
It's ready. I'm ready.
Well, can I just say this? Let me show this to the people on the stream. Polo is wearing a collared shirt today. What is going on? What's the event? What did I miss? What's going on? Why are you turning red? You got a collared shirt on. You never wear a shirt like that.
Yeah, I do.
You never wear shirts that button in the front like that. It's always a pullover.
No.
Either a t-shirt or a polo shirt.
No, not always.
You going to church after the show tonight? What's going on?
No, it's an Oakley shirt. It's not even like a dress shirt.
No, that's
It's really similar to the one that's like on my Facebook page.
Let me just say thank you, Laura, because she really has changed you. She is, what? I'm just saying. What?
You know
Carrie's
nothing.
Happy because we're going after your personal life.
No, not hers. Nothing. Yeah.
What are you talking about? No, that I want people to take a good look at that shirt. Polo does have some shirts that button up.
I was wearing a polo shirt yesterday.
It was a pullover, wasn't it?
It was a polo shirt.
The picture of the polo shirt was a pullover.
Huh? It was a polo shirt.
Look, there are two kinds of collared shirts. Either you pull them over or you button them up. You had a button-up polo shirt on?
Well, no, but it did have buttons on it.
Did you pull it over?
Maybe.
That's called a pullover.
And then I buttoned
it
up.
Why are we having this discussion? Carrie's the mother of two sons. Are there two kinds? Am I misrepresenting the two kinds of shirts?
No,
one's a pullover, one's a button-up?
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, pullovers have buttons on them, too, but you don't button them up necessarily.
Yeah, but I've never heard somebody call a polo shirt a pullover.
I don't think since I've known you for 15 years, seeing you have a button-up shirt on. There's something going on.
That's not true, because I even wore a button-up shirt when I went to the movie premiere.
Carrie, call Laura. Call her.
Okay, I'm on it.
I'm done, because there's something going on, and I'm not being filled in.
And then I wore a button-up and a tie to your daughter's wedding.
No, that didn't matter. You were working at it. I mean, at work...
Well, that
actually,
lit,
you didn't wear a tie. I was surprised you owned a tie. I was actually pretty spiffy. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, I have quite a few. Yeah.
Well, why can't you suit it up to come to work every day? Why are we just low end of the totem pole here? Why can't we get some polo fancy, fabulous ties and stuff? Come on, man.
You don't need me dressing up like that. I don't want to steal.
I don't know. Let's open it up to Twitter. It's at Joe Talk Show if you'd like a polo to wear a button-up shirt every day. And no, not a pullover shirt that you have to button or that you can button. An actual button-up shirt. Okay, we'll take the poll. So far, it's 98% yes. 2% undecided.
And I have one, you don't get to see them.
I don't think so. Yeah. I got to be honest. I don't think you're telling the truth on that one.
Okay.
So, Carrie, if you can, fill us in on this Taliban idiot that for some reason is out. I mean, I don't understand. Help me.
From the blaze, so-called American Taliban John Walker Lind has been released from prison after 17 years of his 20-year sentence because of good behavior. Remember, Lind, who joined the Taliban in mid-2001, reportedly tried to spread Islamic radicalism while in prison. Also, multiple letters written by Lind from prison to express support for terror groups, including ISIS. Lind, who is now 38, traveled to Yemen in 1998 to study Arabic. He moved to Pakistan in 2000 and studied Islam. By the middle of 2001, he had joined the Taliban. U.S. troops captured Lind in Afghanistan after the September 11 terror attacks. Lind was released Thursday from a federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, CNN reported. He will remain on probation for 3 years, will have his internet usage monitored, and is banned from leaving the country. He'll be living in Northern Virginia. Lind said he regretted his actions when he was sentenced in 2002, but letters written by Lind and sent by him to KNBC-TV paint a picture of a man who still supports terrorism. In one letter from 2015, Lind said that ISIS was doing, quote, a spectacular job, and that they were clearly very sincere and serious about fulfilling the long-neglected religious obligation of establishing a caliphate through armed struggle, which is the only correct method. In another letter from 2014, Lind said that he felt honored to have been able to take part in the Afghan jihad and to contribute to the defense of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, albeit only in a very limited capacity. And The Atlantic's Graham Wood, who corresponded with Lind while the latter was in prison, said that he believed Lind had converted from an al-Qaeda supporter, but only to become a supporter of ISIS. Also, Lind has been accused of spreading radical Islamist propaganda propaganda to fellow prisoners using rhetoric from formerly high-ranking Muslim Brotherhood member Saeed Qutb. Mike Spann was a CIA operative killed by Taliban prisoners who were trying to escape from U.S. custody. Although Lind was reportedly not involved in Spann's death, Spann had interviewed him shortly before the incident took place. Spann's father, Johnny, told ABC News he felt like he had to apologize to his son for Lind's release because I feel like we failed him. Spann called on President Donald Trump to stop Lind from being released, begging, "Mr. President, please do your job."
I wonder what he could have done, though. What could the president do to keep him in jail?
He released him for good behavior. He's out on probation, so I don't know. I don't know if he could have done anything.
Let's open it up. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Should this piece of crap ever been let out? And here's the thing. Even if he was set to be let out after, what was it, 18 years? How many years?
20. He was sentenced to 20. He got out at 17.
Wait, but he got out in 17. Yeah. Okay. 3 years probation. Let's say he was set to be out. He really is remorseful. He flew under the radar. He was good behavior. The minute this piece of crap writes a letter to a TV station saying that ISIS was doing a great job, I mean, maybe you just get rid of any chance for parole or probation. I mean, maybe when you go before the parole board says, "Hey, so did you send these letters to KNBC News and say that the Taliban's doing a great job?" Okay, he can't deny it. They've got him right there. You just don't give him parole. Make him serve the entire 20. And by the way, he should have gotten life. He should have gotten life and maybe even have been put to death for treason. Obviously, he's a piece of garbage. Obviously, he's a guy who the interview with led to the death of a CIA agent. The guy's father is right, other than I don't know what the chief executive can do to say, imprison that American because I said so. You can't. Our judicial system should have done a better job in sentencing this guy to life in prison, no possibility of parole, rotten jail, or death for treason. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Should this piece of crap be out? And what do you think, if anything, the president could do to have stopped him from being let out? I don't think anything, but your thoughts when we get back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Talking about this piece of garbage, American Taliban being let out. I'm a firm believer in attempting to rehabilitate those who commit crimes. And I do believe that it can work if we actually fix the correctional system. I don't think that our correction system in this country is designed right now for rehabilitation. I think it's designed more just about solely about incarceration. Then you let them out and then, you know, they go back and recommit. That's another topic for another day. I don't think that somebody who is a traitor to his country, who potentially led to the death of a CIA agent, a guy who supported the Taliban against us, can be rehabilitated. And even if he does change his thinking, I still don't believe in rehabilitation for somebody who's done something so heinous against our country. So this guy should have gotten life in prison. But he, at the very minimum, should have done the entire sentence. And I know that at 17 years out of 20, he's already done more than most prisoners will do. I get that. But there never, ever should have been a time where the parole board said, yeah, it's time to let him out on parole. It just does not make sense to my logical brain. Shush. I think it's logical. Don't see?
I don't say anything.
This is what I mean.
I was gonna say
if you're getting a day off tomorrow, maybe don't make faces. Maybe that. Maybe that.
All right.
Maybe keep that to yourself.
Try to do better.
CV. So there you go.
CV.
Chocolate voice?
Oh, okay. Good.
Are you new to the game? Have you just said, like, hi, this is the Joe Pags Show. Welcome. Hopefully you'll get used to the program after 14 okay. years. So your thoughts on that? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, you may not want to give an opinion. You're the news lady, but should he have been let out, you think?
No, I do not think he should have been let out. And as we're talking about 4 years ago, he was talking about what a spectacular job ISIS was doing. He was trying to convert prisoners. No.
Loves him some ISIS.
Apparently.
Polo, let this guy out or no?
No.
I mean, it's simple, right? I mean, who on the parole board said, yeah, poor guy, just wanted to kill some Americans. What's the big deal? Yeah.
Who read these letters and thought, you know what, this is a good idea. 17 years is enough. Yeah.
And by the way, if we have the letters to KNBC, the parole board had them.
I would have imagined, right?
And Sam, let this guy out. Sam's screening phone calls. Paula, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I mean, I would think that when people are let out from prison, it's because they might, I guess the hope is that they're going to be a positive influence or they're going to be, I'm trying to blank on the word.
Rehabilitated?
Mentor?
No. Where they're going to bring value, I guess, to the community or and that kind of stuff. What value is this guy going to have if he still feels that way about the country?
Nothing. I mean, no value. He's valueless. It's a great question. Valueless to the country. Ain't happening. It's just not, but he's out. And some doofus out there feels good that they let him out. Was he in prison? No, he's in Indiana, right?
Yes.
Why is he sending something to KNBC in L.A.?
That I don't know, unless they sent him something first and wanted to interview him, or I don't know. Maybe they reached out first.
The whole thing, that's weird, man. You're in prison. You know everything's getting read. Whether it's snail mail or email or whatever, every phone call is listened to and taped. You're still somebody who believes in what you were doing in the day. Then you don't get out because, of course, you're going to get out and try to do it again. You're a danger to the country. It's really that simple. Sam, I was asking everybody, you were busy doing your job, screening calls. Let this guy out or not?
You know, I don't really know this guy's story, unfortunately, but by what I'm hearing, it sounds like that was a really bad decision.
He's a piece of crap that supports ISIS. Do you let him out or not?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no as well. All right, let me go to the phone lines and see what you think about all this. It's going to be Harry, who's in Michigan. Harry, what's going on? Hi.
Good day, Dr. Joe. I was just wondering if this Lynn guy is going to run for Congress now. I mean, he would have a good ally in AOC and Omar Pelosi and Chuck Hugh Schumer and pretty much the Democrat Party, it seems like.
As much as they suck, I don't think they're American Taliban, do you?
I think they ally themselves on that side.
All right, Harry, appreciate you. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I'm not going to call them terrorists or allied with terrorists, although I will guarantee you there are members of Congress that are happy this guy's out. I'd like to hear from them all. Somebody should go and poll them like I just polled the staff. Hey, how do you feel about this guy Lynn getting out? That would be an interesting question to ask. There isn't a journalist out there that'll ask it. By the way, I hit that guy on the yearbook story.
Oh, yeah?
Right, where I read the headline a little while ago. I mean, we didn't do the story yet, but they're acting as if it's fact that the OK sign is a white supremacist sign.
Yeah.
The guy wrote back, I just aggregated the stories from the New York Post and the Chicago Times and the New York Times, whatever. So take it up with them, bud. Oh. I said, no, your freaking name's on the story, stupid.
Get it.
Your name is on the story.
Don't put your name
so if
on
you're
it.
Aggregating it, so if you're not really a journalist, you're just grabbing stories from other outlets and then putting it together and pretending it's yours. Either don't put your name on
exactly.
it,
exactly,
and attribute it to them, or change the story to make it journalistic. Some say is a racist sign. Some allege is a racist symbol. According to say the person's name, this is racist. But instead, you just aggregate it, report it, and then walk around in your happy life as if you did something good. You didn't. You made a fool of yourself. End of the industry. Let me go back to the phone lines and say hello to line 5 is John in Kentucky. John, what's up?
Joe, let me ask you a question. Do you really think that this guy should have gotten life in prison?
Yes, maybe execution. Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't think he even should have went to prison.
Why?
The execution part sounded good to me.
Oh, so, anyway, so kill him before going to prison?
Yeah, why waste my money on it?
Okay. I mean, if you were found in the war theater and a CIA agent was killed because of him, you know, maybe that's something to look at. But I believe in more justice than that. And I think that the judicial system, having done it right, should have found him guilty of treason. But what else?
Okay, well, they're going to let him out. They let him out. So why not put him back with his buddies?
Well, you mean flying back to Afghanistan? Yeah.
Send him back over in the desert with his buddies, put him back in there with the Taliban, and then do the job right this time. Run a Hellfire missile down his neck.
All right, John. Appreciate you. Well, getting the call. Hey, Carol, getting the calls today.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Going to run a missile right down his neck, the guy.
Ready?
And again, I like the idea. Send him back. We found him in Afghanistan. He went there purposely, joined the Taliban, a terrorist group that was ruining Afghanistan, that actually helped to train Al-Qaeda and taking down the Twin Towers and so on, in doing 9/11. You know, some people doing something. And now that he's out, and he shouldn't be, send that ass back. Carrie, not a bad idea. Send the ass back.
Actually, yeah. Kind of like it.
I'm not about sending a missile down his throat immediately. Maybe wait till he does something. But 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there also. Live video feed, the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Thursday. Glad to have you here. Talking about this guy, what's his name, John Lind? Is it John Lind?
It's John Walker Lind. Lind, I believe.
Why do we always have to say his middle name?
I don't know.
What is that crap?
I don't know.
I'm going to call him Stupid Lind. I want to give him the credit.
You could.
Oh, John Walker Lind. Just an upsetting citizen. It just sounds stupid. Mm. Lind, the piece of garbage, let out of prison. American Taliban, clearly as recently as what, 2015, sending letters to a TV station. Talk about how great ISIS is doing. Big fan of ISIS, that John Lind. And now he's out. And he's not allowed to leave the country. And he's in, what, Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. Probably listening to this show. We're on there. By the way, if you're listening, you're a piece of crap. You should be in prison. Carrie, is that wrong to go right at the guy?
No, I don't think so. You can.
He's not going to do American terrorism on me, is he?
I would hope not. No.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
I just, because I'm not in the mood today for American terrorism. Either.
No, I wouldn't be either.
Don't be pulling some American Taliban terrorism. But he should still be in prison. Now, there are a lot of people saying, well, just kill him. Well, that's not the way the judicial system works. But I don't think this guy ever denied who he was and what he was doing. Isn't he the guy that was on all the videos with the propaganda? This is that guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, unless he can prove that he was forced to do that under duress, under you'll die if you don't, how does he ever get out? The propaganda alone in trying to rally people against the United States of America is treasonous. The whole thing's confusing to me. A lot of people want to be heard on this. Let me get to it. And we'll do a quick overview of that stupid OK sign story. And by the way, the OK, this is not racist. I'm not being a white supremacist now by doing this on camera. This means OK. That's what it means. Stop being stupid and falling for something some stupid website said with something that it's not. I mean, it's just dumb now. And stop pretending you're a journalist if you're not. Damn it. Not you, Carrie. The people who are pretending. Carrie is a journalist.
Yes, yes. That dude who just pieces together other people's stories and then plops his name on it, that's not what I call journalism.
And by the way... If you're going to do that, because we all use different sources, but I'm not going to aggregate it. I mean, saying aggregate, it means you're actually just grabbing everybody else's reporting and pretending it's yours. If you're going to use other sources, write it and make sure it's journalistic.
Absolutely. And attribute it. And then put your name on it.
Why is that hard?
Yeah, it shouldn't be. But it is, apparently.
Have you read through that story? There is no attribution at all. If you read that story, he is saying this is racist.
Oh, dude, that's terrible then.
And then he also says it started on the 4chan website, which is a racist, horrible, white supremacist website. Not some say, not reportedly, not according to statistics, nothing. Just matter of fact, it's all freaking racist. You can't do the OK sign anymore. And a guy was banned from Chicago Cubs baseball forever for doing the racist symbol behind a black reporter. He says that too. He just says it. Not allegedly racist, not... Can somebody talk to the people making the OK sign and ask them, why are you doing that? Because it's OK that I'm graduating. I mean, what?
I don't know the deal.
Anyway, let me get back to the folks who want to be heard on this guy, John Walker Lind, because we have to say his middle name for some reason. Let me say hello to Will, who's in East Texas. Will, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Y'all pretty much covered my thoughts on sending back to where you picked him up.
Yeah.
But there's one other thing I wanted to mention. I think today you came up with Trump's 2020 slogan and didn't even realize it. You said today when you were talking about something else, talking about personal responsibility, I think with young people, you said, make America better for tomorrow. I think that should be Trump's 2020 slogan.
You know, I got to tell you, Will, can I tell you something? I am so full of positivity and creativity that I'm with you. I probably say something every day that could be a campaign slogan. You know what I'm saying? Kerry, what? Let me just talk to Will. Why do you have to always inject yourself?
What are you talking about? I was completely quiet. I was listening to your conversation with Will.
I can see your face, Kerry.
Awesome. What?
Will, I think that you're spot on. What did I say? Make America great for tomorrow? No, make America better for tomorrow.
I believe it was make America better for tomorrow. Sometimes the simplest things are the best, and it just stuck in my head, and I thought, that's it. So who knows?
Well, let me ask you this. How hard do you think it is being me, having all this going on at all these? At every moment, Will, stuff like that will just come right out of me. You know what I mean?
If you're just being true to yourself, buddy, I think it's pretty.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? You know, I'm friends with Brad Parscale, the campaign manager. I'll send it right over to him. I'm serious. I'm going to send it to him.
Hey, let's try it, brother.
All right, man. I appreciate you, Will. Thank you. We'll give Will credit for reminding me of the great line I came up with. Kerry, it's like if I broke down my 3 hours every day,
mm-hmm.
I would be astonished by how great it is. You know what I mean?
I'm astonished every day.
No, I don't
What's
know
that,
what
Paulo?
You mean.
I said I'm astonished every day.
Let me stop both of you ass wagons right now. You're both part of the 3 hours every day. So if you're going to denigrate the 3 hours, you're denigrating yourself. Be careful with what you're about to say.
Right. I was just going to say, much like gas, you know, these things just come out of you. And there you go.
Gas?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yo, Paulo puts on a button-up shirt. He thinks he can say anything he wants now. Look at him.
Oh, come on.
Paulo, there was a guy from Denver holding a while ago about button-up shirts and pullover shirts. I didn't even take him. He ended up hanging up. But, I mean, really, we're going to continue with this, really? Is that where we are today? Will, I appreciate you remembering that. I did, in fact, say that, and I think I said it during the interview on the campus reform. I'll send it to Brad, and Brad will say, leave me alone. Why do you keep sending me texts and stuff? Who are you?
Stop bugging me.
And I'll be like, Brad, it's me. What are you talking about? It's your boy. It's your homie, Pags. Well, Brad is cool, and we're friends. We legitimately are friends. We know each other. His daughter went to the same high school as my kids. And he'll ignore me for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then send me like 5 emails and let's do some radio. I'm like, okay.
He's you know busy what I mean? Man.
But I'd imagine he's a little busy. He's just a tad busy, right?
Just a little bit.
Let me go back at it as we continue to try to make America better for tomorrow. What is it? Make America better for tomorrow? I think that's what I said.
I think so.
It was so good that I forgot what I said. But
how do you
the thing
that?
Is, 5 minutes later, I'll say another one. Yeah. What's that?
How do you pronounce that?
How do you pronounce it?
Well, like there's
Let me
manga.
Go to the phone line.
I mean,
make America better for tomorrow. Make a better tomorrow for America. Maybe I said that. Make a better tomorrow. MABTA.
Mabta.
It'd be Mabta.
Mabta.
Hello. Nailed it. Mabta. Or Mabta. Could be Mabta.
Yeah. Mabta.
It flows off the tongue. I'm with
Mabta.
You.
Mabta. Yeah.
It's like a fine wine. No. I'll take the Mabta 1907. What's wrong with that? Let me go to line one. It's Kathy in Alaska. Kathy, what's going on? Hi.
Oh, hey, Joe.
Hey.
I never call in. I just want you to know that. I sit in my car and just smolder every day, and I never call in.
Well, you called in because you're really smoldering today, aren't you?
Yes, I'm really smoldering today because I'm sorry. They should have shot him or they should have hung him right next to John Kerry. I don't get it. I don't understand why Manafort's going to be in jail for the rest of his life in solitary confinement for a lie that they probably tricked him into. And this guy, do they think he's really going to go away?
Well, no.
He's going to come back. He's going to do something.
Well, no, I think this guy is still somebody who is sympathetic to that cause. And now we've got him out roaming the streets in Virginia, which doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. He should have been shot, hung, or whatever, and they should have put John Kerry next to him.
And John Kerry because of the Vietnam crap that he pulled.
Yeah, John Kerry, because he's going over and talking to foreign governments.
Well, he is. He should not. Look, he should be facing a Logan Act trial tomorrow because he's over there dealing with Iran. He's really doing it. But I'm not ready to say hang John Kerry. This other guy, I think he should have been executed because it was treason.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what we're going soft. I don't know what's up is down and on. Down is up. And, you know, I live in Alaska, and we don't have a lot of the things you have outside. But I travel outside, and it's incredible. I'm like 70 years old, and the best president ever, Donald Trump, by far.
No, he's great. The things that he's done are masterful, even in the face of all this ridiculous garbage that he's facing in Washington. Yeah.
Can you imagine if everybody was on board, like a real business is run, and we could just think what we could accomplish? Instead, you got these demo rats. We've got one up here. You got Murkowski, who's a demo rat. So it's just.
Is Sarah Palin going to run against her? What do you think?
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Well, she said, Lisa, I could see 2022 from my backyard or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, she made that threat, and then we had her on the show, and it looks like she was thinking about it. We'll keep on talking to her about it. I think Lisa Murkowski has to go. She's not a Republican, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely not. She's voted several times against Trump already. And what did he do? He opened up Anwar and even gave her the pen he signed with.
Right.
And what did she do for him? Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's it. No, she's got to go. I'm not really sure how she's ever won there. Kathy, we love you. I don't mean to make you smolder. But, Carrie, that's what it takes you, Kathy, to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, ready to line people up and just hang them.
I know. A lot of passion.
Let's hang
today
John Kerry. Let's hang the Taliban guy. Don't keep me on the phone. We're hanging somebody else. So Lisa Murkowski does have to go. We love being on Fairbanks and in Anchorage every day. She's got to go. She's somebody who doesn't represent the good people of that state. Sarah Palin would, and I would love to see her run against her for Senate. I think that she wins rather easily. And of course, you know, I'm tight with the Palins.
Why do you keep name dropping? Now she listened to this show.
She called from Alaska,
and,
right? And what'd she do? She tracked me down like a hunting dog, okay? She tracked me down like I was prey, all right?
Really?
I couldn't not have her on. I'm like, whatever, Palin.
Yes, you're very tight with the Palins. Yes, and I am not, okay?
Have you ever FaceTimed with Sarah Palin? Oh, it's great. It's fun.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
I have not.
Sam, when are we going to have the Palins back on? What's the story?
Well, you know, she has young grandchildren and children, and so they've been going on and off school. So,
right, sure.
Know, we're talking. We're in the talks.
So do you actually talk to Todd and Sarah Palin when you do this?
Yes.
Wow. Carrie, have you done that? That's weird.
I have not.
Why can't you talk to the Palins?
Rude? I don't have their number.
Because you're taking tomorrow
digits.
Off. You're going to be off for the next 17 days.
I'll talk to Sarah. 17.
How many days do you need off? Let me tell you this. You come back Tuesday, you better bring it.
You know I will. You know I will.
Oh, I don't know about
I'll
that.
Be ready.
Many days off, you come in, you're half asleep.
No,
you
need that to bring won't it. Happen. I will bring it.
Look, drink all the wine you need in the 3 days. And the fourth day, take a break.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be ready.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Joe Pags Show, thanks. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Some phone lines lined up. We'll get to you in a second. Carrie, I don't want to run out of time. We have to have that story. That was an aggregated story from other sources. Mm-hmm. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, read the headline, read everything. I'm gonna interrupt. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to interrupt because I want people to understand what is and what isn't journalism. Go ahead.
Okay, from Andy Campbell, HuffPost, high school spends $53,000 to reprint yearbooks after students flash racist sign.
Stop. That is not journalism. You can't say that these students flashed a racist sign if it's not a racist sign. You have to say somebody's calling it a racist sign. You have to attribute it to somebody. You can't say the OK sign is racist because you say so. Otherwise, this Andy Campbell guy looks like he's deciding it. Go ahead.
A high school in a Chicago suburb is spending more than $53,000 to reprint its 2018-2019 yearbook after staff discovered photos inside in which students were flashing the white supremacist OK hand sign.
Just going to stop you. They're calling it a white supremacist OK hand sign is not journalism. That's not true. The OK symbol is not inherently racist. If some people are doing it because of racism, that's on them. But there is no information in the story suggesting these students said we're doing it because racism. Go ahead.
Administrators at Oak Park and River Forest High School released a statement last week notifying parents that they were withholding the yearbooks from distribution after they discovered the photos, according to CBS Chicago. This week, the Chicago Tribune reported the high school paid Johnston's $53,794 to reprint the books and that the new versions are expected to be delivered to students by mid-June. The racist adaptation of the OK hand sign began on 4chan, an anonymous message board frequented by racist trolls and extremists, and has since been co-opted.
If you don't mind. Racist, extremists, and who else?
Trolls.
Racists, trolls, and extremists. This is, again, somebody who is putting his opinion on there. You have to say somebody's calling it that, or somebody has referred to it as, you, somebody reported the website as. And the racist adaptation of the okay sign, well, boy, that doesn't get you off the hook, does it? What does that mean? So if I'm doing okay, now you have to decide if my adaptation is racist or not. Is that journalism, Carrie?
No, it is not.
No. All right, please continue.
It has been since co-opted by prominent white supremacists who often use it to signal their presence to like-minded extremists. It's prominent enough that allegedly, those who use it have been fired from their jobs or faced other consequences. Recently, a Chicago Cubs fan was banned indefinitely from Wrigley Field after flashing the hand sign behind a black reporter during a live broadcast. Let me stop you there.
It's just saying the hand sign. Again, this guy was doing the okay sign, which could have meant that punch you in the arm game or whatever. Or it could have meant okay. Or it could have meant something, whatever he made up. The idea that you know it's the hand sign and the hand sign now means it's a racist hand sign. Again, not journalism. Sorry, go ahead.
While the student's intent was unclear and the photos were not made available, the content was apparently jarring enough, the staff felt it necessary to reprint the yearbooks and emailed the parents. From school district superintendent Joylyn Pruitt Adams notes that while the hand gestures could have been in reference to the classic schoolyard made you look circle game, its use by hateful people and ideologies led to the decision.
53, by the way, Mike, thanks for the story. $53,000. To reprint yearbooks because people are making the okay sign. This is how stupid our society has become. And that 53 grand, guess where that's coming from, Carrie? Property taxpayers.
No doubt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's taxpayer money. It's not like the principal's like, I got 53 grand. Let's reprint the damn yearbook. No, no.
That's not happening.
Nope. And the taxpayers are on the hook. And little by little, more idiots believe that the okay sign is a racist sign. Okay, then. Let me go to the phone lines and say hi to Orlando. And he's in San Antonio. Orlando, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how's it going, big time?
Living a dream, man. Hey. Talk to me. Hey, don't have a lot of time. Make it fast.
I'm with Kathy on that thing. Let's hang this guy. I did 16 years in the military. My job was to process soldiers that were doing bad things. And there are guys right now doing 20, 30 years for things that don't even come close to being a traitor.
Yep.
At one point in time, the commander could have made a decision to kill this guy on the spot.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the hell we got away from that.
Well, Orlando, listen, I got to run, but I want to thank you publicly for your service. Thanks a million, brother. I appreciate you. I hear where you're coming from, and your emotions are well taken because this guy should not be out of prison. And yes, he probably should have died in the war as it was happening. Pop culture. Hey. Dirty pop. Yo. Hi, Polo. Come on.
Well, so it's been a week or two since we've mentioned Jussie Smollett, but today a Chicago judge ordered that his case file be unsealed and making the records available to the public. So right now, they're all, I guess, being looked at, and it says here that the office will release the documents related to this case through an FOIA production by June 3rd.
FOIA.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, FOIA means Freedom of Information Act, and journalists use that to unseal things that the taxpayers should be able to take a look at. We will see what happens, and I think this Kim Fox, is that her name, is in big trouble. Gotta go. That's Polo, that's Carrie, that's Sam, I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.